This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
Welcome, everybody. My name's Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm your friendly lady lawyer and economist on these radio waves. But sometimes on Fridays, we do a little bit of a lighter take. Today, I am really excited to be joined by one of my colleagues from Civic Media, the indomitable Luke Mathers. Thanks so much for joining me, Luke. It's nice to have you with me today.
It's glad to be with you, Maggie.
So Luke and I are together doing this. We've got a little pre-record. So if you're listening live, you're not going to need to call in because we pre-recorded this. Because everybody at Civic Media that does this talk work, we're getting together on Friday for a big old meeting talking about what the new year's going to bring. So Luke and I wanted to put together a little special content for you. And since it was Friday, and since we are recording this on Thursday, we were going to do some lighter content, maybe a little sports, maybe a little pop culture type of thing. And literally moments before Luke and I pressed the record button, he and I got the devastating news that icon, personal hero, the man that I've been listening call Milwaukee Brewers games my entire life, Bob Uecker, has just passed away at the age of 90. So we're starting there because it is top of mind. And I need to process my grief, you know, publicly on the radio and with you, Luke, obviously.
as we hear.
As one does.
Yeah, as we tend to do. Yeah. So, yeah.
I got a text message before it actually started to like go out wide on media, because I've got a couple of friends that work in the Brewers organization, and I text back a swear word. Oh, fudge, but not the fudge word.
Yeah.
Just totally heartbroken. I think so many Wisconsin sports fans like just adore Bob Uecker. He seems like the uncle that we all want, right?
Yeah. Well, and Mr. Baseball himself, just a man larger than life to a certain degree, but yes, just in the best way possible. Like I believe it was when they went to the NLCS in 18 or 19, I forget what year exactly, but when Uke was in there celebrating in the clubhouse with the guys who were in their 20s and 30s, like right there taking the bottles of High Life and other champagne, just like having a blast in the clubhouse celebrating that playoff journey that they were on. And you could tell this past season too, that there was some degree where there were players and there were members of the organization that hoped the Brewers could do it all, because there has been 90 years, a life well lived. Like that is an impressive feat on its own, but the impact that he has had on the team and the community in Milwaukee is just, it's huge.
He is a legend. And I think his connection with the players on the team, as well as everyone in the organization, was so evident throughout his career. Like, he really enjoyed the players and the organization and the people that worked in the organization, and they really treasured their individual relationships with him. I know Craig Counsell made special mention of that. Willie Adames has made special mention of that he really knew the guys and the other folks that work in the organization, knew about their families, would ask after him. He was this real person beyond the persona that all of us that were a few degrees of separation away from the organization saw. If you don't remember where he got the moniker Mr. Baseball, of course, that was bestowed upon him during Uecker's pretty incredible run on late night TV in the 70s and 80s. And of course, the famous Johnny Carson, host of The Tonight Show, called him Mr. Baseball. It stuck.
Yeah.
It was a permanent thing. While we were getting ready for the show, Luke, I asked you, hey, did you ever watch Mr. Belvedere?
A little bit before my time. I haven't. Is it on a streaming platform? Can I go and catch up on it?
This is a really good question, my friend.
I have to find out. And you can even see, though, the impact that he had on the clubhouse as well, as you're taking a look at that. Like Christian Yelich, when this last season ended,
this man.
Christian Yelich was teary-eyed in one of his final media appearances of the 2024 season, because he was talking about how he was sitting in the clubhouse taking it all in with Uke. How the players look up to him and revere him as a figure of the Milwaukee Brewers, but also I think just as a human being, like the role model that Uke sets for like the standard for the people coming in and out of the Brewers organization, and so it is a very heavy loss for the community. And I'm not going to be shocked if we see now that this day in January is going to get declared to be Bob Uecker Day, because like that is the level of impact he has.
It should be Bob Uecker Day. I mean, he almost became his own like cottage industry, right? But in support of Milwaukee, in support of the Brewers. Apparently, I did a little bit of quick Googling.
Yeah.
You can watch Mr. Belvedere apparently on Amazon. And don't get it confused with the crappy movie that didn't include Bob Uecker, which is Mr. Belvedere Goes to College. Not that one.
That's like Shirley
Temple. No.
Okay.
Not that. Mr. Belvedere was an ABC TV show that ran from 1985 to 1990. So, yes, Luke is reminding me how damn old I am. I missed it by
just a couple of years, but I probably wasn't going to be watching sitcom TV even in those early years. So
probably not, but I was in the like target sweet spot age range, having been born in, 1977. young kid, dad who was a huge baseball fanatic. I loved baseball having come, then the Brewers were getting, had gone through the 82 season, right? It was sort of at peak Brewers hysteria. I watched the heck out of that show. Good fun times. He did all those Miller Lite commercials, were super shticky and funny. And of course, his role as Harry Doyle in the movie Major League. I remember I had a bunch of friends that went to County Stadium to be extras and sat in those seats like all day long while they were filming. It was like 8-9 hours. You just sit in the stands. And of course they freak out. Like, who doesn't want to just cheer their butts off, even for a fictional Cleveland Indians team? I think you have some sound, Luke, from the Harry Doyle Major League role that Mr. Uecker played.
Don't worry, nobody's listening anyway.
Oh no, Harry, come on, man.
They love the Maggie Don show. Say it ain't so.
There's some good ones too. I think the most famous one has got to be this one.
Just a bit outside.
Yes, with Charlie Sheen playing, I forget what the hell they called him, Wild Thing. I remember what they called him in the movie. I don't remember the guy's actual name. And they had to figure out he needed glasses. And then he threw these like smoking fastballs that he could never control. And hence, just a bit outside.
Ricky Vaughn is Ricky Vaughn. Wild Thing Vaughn.
It's such a baseball name. Like, I have burned into my head my dad's sort of voiceover, I think wannabe baseball announcer, just calling guys' names out. And like certain men's names work so much better for baseball. You know, like my dad's name is Mike Don. So my dad would do a little voice work and be like, reporting for the Brewers as pitcher, the left-hander hailing from Milwaukee, Wisconsin at 6'2", 185 pounds, Mike the Mad Dog Don, like stuff like that he would do all the time.
That's an art too, and Uke perfected that in his calls, because the inflection and baseball famously like not a fast sport.
No,
like it takes its time. And so like the call of the game has to be entertaining and keep you enthralled, and the storytelling that you do while also
with the play by play, yes.
Right. And the weaving those together, that is an art. Like that is
truly,
I think an underappreciated art, but just you did it so well.
And one of the things that I think, even if you're stacking up like Harry Carey versus Bob Uecker, first of all, the Cubs, who cares? So there's that problem, of course. But one of the things that I think Bob Uecker did was harness his excitement in a way that was different. And he truly, in my opinion, mastered the art of letting the game sound filter through, where mm-hmm. he would not talk. Right. And you could hear the crowd and occasionally like bear hair, like out in the faint.
Peanuts. I'll take some peanuts.
I love that din of a baseball game, of all the people talking. It's a moment where nothing's happening quite yet. And you would just let the game sounds come through on the broadcast, which gave you, it had this very tangible feel to it. And unlike some play-by-play announcers, especially TV guys, where they would use sort of tortured research to tell this like bizarro story that doesn't really relate, Uke's stuff was all real personal. And what he was known for was the incredible self-deprecation.
Oh,
you know, like, oh yeah, I batted 200, just a backup catcher. You know, like, wasn't a very good actual professional baseball player, but the way that you get to Cooperstown with a 200 lifetime batting average out of the major leagues is you become the voice of a franchise and I think a few generations of baseball fans, unquestionably. It was thinking back on the last game of the Brewers season this past year. I had taken my dad for his 80th birthday to game two. So we got to watch the win out of that 3-game series. And I had tears like in my eyes watching game three with a bunch of friends when those damn Mets. And one of the things that my friends and I, like drowning our miseries in a couple of frothy ale beverages after the loss, was who knows, this may have been Uke's last season, and that made it hurt even more. And here we are.
Yeah, it's folks, it's a tough loss that we have for our community.
It is. Folks, I'm joined by my good friend and yours. You hear him every once in a while on these airways, often with Todd Alba. But today on the Maggie Dawn Show, I'm Maggie Dawn, joined by my friend Luke Mathers. We're having a little lighter pre-recorded Friday content. We're going to take care of some quick business. We'll be right back. Keep it locked. We might talk about some board games. I hear you're a good card player. Like the board games, Luke. Let's discuss when we return.
I'm excited to talk. Yeah.
Yeah, little smack talk coming up. You don't want to miss it, folks. We'll be right back right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
By the river, we're on your radio, your streaming device, on the interwebs, and also, of course, on our app. It's the Civic Media Radio Network. You can access us in so many great places. My name is Maggie Dawn, host of this, The Maggie Dawn Show, coming to you every Monday through Friday from 2 to 4 p.m. But go get that app if you happen to be outside of Wisconsin or in one of the tiny little leftover pockets of Wisconsin where you don't get our radio signals. I come to you from 540 AM WAUK, but you can hear me all across the Talk Radio Network. Got a special friend with me today for a little pre-recorded Light Friday content. His name is Luke Mathers. You hear him from time to time on these airwaves. Thanks a lot, Luke, for making time.
Always a pleasure, Maggie. And I join Todd. I'm always happy to join you. I join Pat in the morning for Up North News. It's great to download the Civic Media app because I'm listening to our content. I'm not even in a pocket that I miss out on anything, but I like hearing the local stuff we got going on in Green Bay, in Wausau, all over the state of Wisconsin. We got great local content. So really excited to be with you here on the airwaves and highly recommend the Civic Media app.
I do too. I actually, even when I'm in signal range, I listen to it on the app because I know I'm not going to miss anything and I can pick the station that I like to listen to the network on, and I like to bounce around. So like, give me a little WGBW, like all of the pieces of our network. It's fun to hear that different local flavor from different parts of the state. So y'all, you got to go get the app. It is free from wherever you like to get your apps from. Of course, you could also find my old episodes on Apple Pods and Spotify. They're for your listening pleasure. If you like to watch, and it's not a pre-recorded show, you can always watch us on Civic Media's YouTube channel or at my show handle at Maggie Dawn Show on the Twit X, whatever the heck it is called, the Book of Faces.
Blue
and
Sky
Gram.
Doesn't let you stream videos yet, so they're working on that. But once they let us do that, then you know we'll put the video up there too.
Speaking of social media, do you think? I mean. Is it possible? Could it be so ridiculous that Donald Trump's Federal Trade Commission would actually greenlight Elon Musk buying TikTok in the U.S.? Like, I know it can happen because that's what's happening, but like, it would seem to me that this would be one of the easy calls, that one person shouldn't own two of the world's largest communication platforms.
Well, I think Elon is very successfully making Twitter not one of the largest communication platforms anymore. Like, he's
Lenny. He's killing the money.
It very much feels like there is an exodus, which is how I've heard it referred to as, you know, exodus.
I like the punning there.
That's how I've heard it referred to. I don't know where it first came out, but that's how I barely check it now. The only time Daredevil is having a new season drop. And so I saw on Instagram the new trailer was posted. And so I went to X to
you
go
deigned
watch.
Yeah. To surf on the X.
But for the most part, I'm liking Blue Sky so far. It doesn't have the infinite scroll feature, which is kind of nice because as a New Year's resolution to not be on social media as much anymore, you kind of hit the end of a timeline or a thread. It's like, oh, I've seen all of
this
stuff.
Oh, it's done.
I should close this app now and be done. It's not an infinite scroll. It doesn't have a death grip on my attention. So Blue Sky is gaining ground, but I think it would be a slam dunk for the FTC to say no, you can't have two. But never say never. Crazy things happen these days all the time. So it's weird times that we live in.
If you do political commentary, we should all just get the word unprecedented tattooed on our forehead and just like point to it every day. Be like, oh, we have more unprecedented news.
That would be helpful. That would save a lot of time. Just point to it rather than have to say it over and over again.
Yep, that.
Doesn't work well for the audio medium, though.
That's why you should always watch us on Civic Media's YouTube channel or at Maggie Dawn Show on the X, the Gram, and of course, the Book of Faces. Luke, it's funny that you mention New Year's resolutions and also mastering your attention span, because I now have this new segment, which I'm loving, that I do on Wednesdays at 3:30. Kind of stumbled into it in my first week back after the holiday break, because I have tried to express an intention to play more, move more, rest more, connect more, create more, and laugh more in the new year, as opposed to having specific resolutions, which I almost invariably will fail at. And so in the course of those conversations, in the spirit of playing more, last week I talked about board games. This week I talked about how to take our attention back from all of these outlets and the social media sites that seem to want to take it from us constantly to better harness our creativity. But Luke, you and I have had some chit chats about both amazing card games and board games. You are into these things as well. During our, maybe we need to figure, like, sit next to each other in the meeting tomorrow and, like, have a miniature cribbage board so we can, you know.
Oh,
like,
I'm bringing, I'm bringing one for the lunch break. I can't do it during the meeting because I will, like, that's too distracting for me. No,
yes.
I don't know if I'll get in trouble, but I just know that it'll be very distracting. And so I'm bringing one, though, for get ready. The lunch break.
15-2, 15-4.
So
I'm ready. I'm a little rusty.
Okay. All right. Folks, I think she's laying the groundwork for maybe, you know.
An explanation.
Explanation.
No. Luke, I'm going to call it right now before the votes have even been counted and the points have been tallied.
Stop the steal.
What do you mean? Yeah. I've won the cribbage game. It's unbelievable landslide of cribbage wins against Luke. We can't lose. I don't know how anybody could ever add it up and decide that we've lost.
I have really bad, not bad mannerisms, but I play with a buddy so frequently that, like, the two of us kind of finish each other's sentences when we're doing, like, counting and rhyming and all of that. So I have to be very careful for who I do that around the first couple times, because if you see it out of context and you've never seen it before, it's like
this man is
just a maniac when he's playing this game, and not an inaccurate description of me playing cribbage, though.
Well, I want the full Monty when we play a little lunchtime cribbage with my good friend and yours, Luke Mathers. He's joining me today. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show, a lighter version and a pre-recorded Friday show. When we come back, we're going to talk about Luke's favorite games, a couple of mine, and then we might get into whether or not the 90s are an amazing decade or not. Great debate around this idea. I have my own, perhaps biased viewpoint about this. We discuss when we come back. Come back and have some more fun with us. We got the farm update coming up with your favorite farm gal, Pam Yonke. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
Is that teen spirit you smell or just great radio? I'm not sure which, but I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We got a little special, lighthearted, pre-recorded Friday content for you. I am joined today by my good friend and yours, Luke Mathers, who graces these airwaves from time to time. Luke and I are of different generations, so we may get to some generational sparring. Having been born in the 19th or so, I think
I'm just
the 90s,
a resident young guy around here. That's all.
Yeah, that's very nice, young man. Thank you for your opinion. Get your sneakers off the Davenport. We may get to a little generational sparring. But Luke, being a both card and board game aficionado, we know you love cribbage. Can't wait to play tomorrow. What are some of your other, like, you play euchre, I'm assuming.
Oh, yeah. That's a good one, too.
Speaking of Bob Euchre, right?
Yep, like, speaking of euchre. Excellent game. I've just played pretty much... Sheepshead is one of my favorites as well. It's hard, though, to find five that will play. It always takes a little convincing. Like, my wife knows how to play, but she always is, like, in the hot seat if she's, like, the fifth, because she knows.
Oh.
She, like, hopes that there's at least one other person at the family gathering. So it's, like,
newbie-ish.
Well, it doesn't have to be her, because she's, like, I know that if I don't play, everybody else will be upset. But she's, like, I don't really like to play kind of thing. So it's...
You mean it's, like, people that... You mean it's like people that play on bar league softball teams and act like it's, you know, USA women's softball at the Olympics and you need to remind them to calm the heck down?
No. It's the exact opposite of that person, though. My dad plays Sheepshead, like that mindset where he's like, I need to take every single nickel off of this table. And if I'm not walking out of here,
taking you out.
Yeah. That's how my dad plays. But Kelsey's like, I don't want everybody else not to be able to play.
She's not pulling a hammy, rounding first base, trying to stretch a single into a double. She's just trotting into first.
She's like, which queen goes over which queen again kind of thing. It's like, okay, I'm just trying not to break the rules.
Yeah, I can play Sheepshead, but it sounds like I would be closer to your wife's kind of skill level. Like, I gotta have my cheat sheet thing out on the phone to remind me of how it all works together. But the mechanics of the card playing are very reminiscent of other games. It's just how the cards line up and what beats what is a wee bit more complicated. But I like Euchre because it permits the smack talking. I like cribbage because it permits good smack talking. And there's also, you know, like there's an ethos in cribbage. No matter how badly you're losing, you can't quit. Grunt it out, like gut it out.
You gotta avoid the
snark
line. If you're like, okay, I'm gonna lose this game, my goal is still get to 91 before they peg out. So it's like, come on, like just avoid the skunk line and that's what you gotta do. But the nice part about Sheepshead is, and maybe if you're looking for that fix of smack talk, it's not the best game, though, because in Sheepshead, you want to keep everybody at the table happy because you don't know who your next partner is going to be. Because as soon as you change deals, like as soon as you finish a round, it's like, depending on where the cards lay and who's calling what, like you could all of a sudden be partnered up with one of the people that you were just trying to beat. And so it's a very, you have to be collaborative. You have to be thinking about the different, I think, skill levels that everybody brings to the table. Because when you do have some really like cutthroat Sheepshead players at the table with some newer blood, it's not as much fun because those cutthroat folks are just like, what are you doing? You shouldn't have played that card that way. You let out with that when this was called Trump. Like, what's going on?
What are you doing?
And it's like, so you do have to, the five people you play with or the five people playing are very
matters.
Important. Yeah.
Yeah, that's how I am about picking golf foursomes. Like, first of all, I will not golf in a golf tournament unless it's a scramble because my reliable golf stroke is about like one out of every six or seven swings I take.
Yeah.
And then I litmus test, like, do you get really intense about this? Because if so, I'm not joining your foursome. Now, I can drive a ball 250 yards every once in a while, and it's generally straight, and I can putt. I got a really good short game. But if you want some consistency and somebody to like really be into it, like not your gal, find a different female to join your foursome.
I'm here for a good time, not a good game kind of mindset in any of those.
Wear beer cards, right? Like this is the point of golfing. Hello.
Yeah.
Folks, my name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to a special pre-recorded Friday edition of the Maggie Dawn Show. We're having some yucks with my good friend and yours, Luke Mathers. You can hear him every week on Todd Albo's show from noon to two and with Pat Kreitlow in the early mornings all across the Civic Media Radio Network. Let's get into the 90s. I just read a very, very fascinating Substack article about this because a lot of people that are in the Gen X generation will often point to the 90s as this sort of halcyon days. There's been a whole bunch of stuff flying around on social media insinuating that the light was like that sunlight looked better and was more beautiful and cozy or whatever in the 90s, which is whatever, a little nuts. But that people talk about the 90s as if it was like the zenith, the epic of prosperity and happiness. And so I wanted to kind of just chew on this idea a little bit with you, Luke, because yes, if like I'm not sort of trad wife, let me go back to the 50s with my farmhouse and these weird gender roles. Like, yes, the 90s had the benefit of, you know, the technology increases in modern medicine, right? We were post women's rights and civil rights. Like, these things were part of the ethos. It was baked into the cake. But it's not like any decade is without its drawbacks. One of the things that, you know, we were talking about some of the films that came out, you know, of course, Major League, 90s film. And a lot of the, if you think about Home Alone, a classic kind of 90s film, you think about Ferris Bueller, late 80s, but kind of moving into the 90s, that kind of thing. It's like, well, everyone lives in $1.5 million home in Winnetka, Illinois, with two working parents that are like super cool, like strict, but not too, with like a car and all the cool stuff.
Yeah.
Like, the Home Alone house is insane, right? It's like,
it's a mansion. It's a mansion.
It is correct. It's a Winnetka, Illinois mansion. So I just, you know, not being from that era, like, yes, you lived through the 90s, obviously.
I was born in the 90s, so.
Oh, God.
Kid of the 90s.
Oh, it hurts. It hurts. Everyone, sorry,
not trying to rub it in or anything.
You can go ahead and rub it in. We all have our vulnerabilities. You know, there was, I think there's some complexity around some of the ways that we all in our way tend to think things were peachy or better or best or something to be emulated again. When we think back to if we were fortunate and blessed enough to have really happy childhoods or whatever it is, to revert to that. I mean, certainly you can see that in some of our political discourse today, the even branding of, of the new Republican Party, right? So not being from that era, what's your take on the 90s, Luke?
I think in this context, as in a lot of different contexts, nostalgia is a hell of a drug. Like, any time that you have, like, this longing for a bygone era, because that's what it is, like, the 90s started 35 years ago now. Like, 1990 was 35 years away. And so the fact that you can sometimes look back on times with a lot rosier glasses than what they actually truly were, it leads to this kind of false impression for a lot of people. So I think there's like a long, you're like, oh, it was simpler back then. Like you said, the sunlight was different. Like, what are we talking about?
No, it people wasn't.
Like, I mean, what? Okay. And so I think that there is both in a reverence of the 90s, or if you're talking about a political movement that now looks back on the 50s with reverence. In both instances, it's like one of the belief that you could go back in time to something like that is just, it's silly, but it is something that a lot of people can relate to. It's a relatable thing because we all have
nostalgia
some
something,
of it.
Yes. Right? There's very much an element of that. And it's interesting when people engage in nostalgia, if you truly have those very warm, fuzzy, positive feelings about a particular era, you're not likely to have your brain move to the more problematic social components of that era, right? Like, oh, this was this great time for me. It's hard for me to acknowledge that maybe the 50s weren't so great for Black and brown people and women, that there were fewer choices, all those kinds of things. And I think it makes it, when people hold hard onto nostalgic ideas, it becomes really hard to deal with realities that conflict with those warm fuzzies about the nostalgic or the nostalgized, I don't know if that's a word, past.
We can make it a word.
Sure, it just happened, right? That's kind of a bit of where I think our political discourse has gotten stuck. And so I've tried to, with, you know, taking off my rose-colored glasses, taking off my little brainwashed nostalgia for the 90s, tried to look back with a little bit greater clarity as spurred by this Substack I just read. And I think one of the things that stands out to me is that, sort of riffing off that, the Home Alone house was a mansion and it probably cost like at least $1.5 million even back then. And it's probably a $4 million house now, is this reality that a lot of parents that had kids that were growing up in the 90s had waited longer to have kids. They were more wealthy in relative comparison to where their kids are today in their 40s. Mm-hmm. So a lot of people I know in their 40s, my peers, feel really unsatisfied, or they feel like, what did I miss? Did I get something wrong? Everybody told me I get this college degree, I do these things, yeah. And then I'm going to have the $4 million Winnetka mansion that's in Home Alone. And why don't I have that? What's wrong with me? But, and the parents, a lot of parents, and my parents were solidly middle class, but a lot of parents living in these $1 million houses kept telling their kids, you're middle class, when the reality was like, you're the upper level of middle class, and this is really nice. Like, yeah. Family vacations to Europe and taking 2 weeks off and eating out 3 days a week. Like, that is luxury living compared to working people. So it's, when we think about today and some of the dissatisfaction that animates, I think, some of our politics, you can point to and say it's these overly nostalgized ideals or ideas coupled with this relative sense of, we haven't achieved what I should have achieved. Like, we're not where we should be. And who is to blame for this, right? Like, seeking to blame. Folks, my name is Maggie Dawn. I'm joined on this pre-recorded episode of The Maggie Dawn Show by my good friend of a slightly younger generation, Luke Mathers.
I think we're the same generation. I'm still a millennial, technically.
I'm solidly Gen X, man. I'm like, we got Gen X, then Gen Z.
I would have thought that you were the top of the millennial. See, there's a gray area
in
between generations.
I love that you think I'm younger than I am. I'm just going to take that as, you look good, girl, and I'll take that right
perfect
to the bank.
Perfect.
Like, I mean, shoo. We're talking about sort of generational differences. I read an article about the 90s. And how people have overly nostalgized the 90s. So we got, like the raw milk trad movement for the 50s and all of this kind of crazy. And if you don't know what it means to be like a trad or a trad wife, it means traditional. And so it's sort of
That's what it was abbreviated from.
Yes,
gotcha.
That is what the trad movement is. So if you're like a trad 90s person, it means you want to harken back as if the 90s were the tradition. It all speaks. It's all lingo, buzzwords of today for the yearning for yesterday. And I think, when we're always gazing back with our rose-colored glasses and you may have had a good time in a particular period, it's like, girl, it is time to give up the 80s mall bangs. We need to bring things up to date, not just your hairstyles, but our political discourse. We got to take care of a little business. We're going to come right back, finish up this discussion for the special first hour pre-recorded Maggie Dawn Show on this Friday. Hope you all stick around. Unfortunately, we can't take your calls, but we will definitely continue this great discussion because that's what we're about right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Little 90s music to close out our discussion of generations and generational differences and the rose-colored glasses that we sometimes see the world and our pasts through. Folks, I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network, joined for this special pre-recorded hour by Luke Mathers, a friend of the show, friend of the network, my coworker right here at Civic Media. Folks, what we've got coming up for you in hour two is a special best of the Maggie Dawn Show. If you missed my board game discussion last week, we're going to give you a little refresher. You're going to want to get out a pen and paper because we go through some of the best board games that are out there. Take a lot of caller suggestions. I got to hear about some games I had literally never even heard of before. It was good, good fun. Of course, today we celebrated the life of Bob Uecker, who passed just before Luke and I began recording today. But our conversation has turned to the 90s, and as well as just this idea of nostalgia. And one of the things that I hear often from people about the 90s is that the 90s were so much safer. It's so dangerous now. I also hear things like, oh, divorce rates today are just skyrocketing. Okay, the reality is both of those things are actually incorrect.
What?
What? And my sort of meta point about all of this, Luke, is that the narratives that we tell ourselves and the narratives sometimes that the media sells us often are serving a purpose which isn't the truth telling about the thing.
Wait, you're telling me that sometimes like we're sold a bag of goods and that's not that's not reality?
Yeah. And so like to start with the divorce rate, probably half of my class and my classmates when I was in school and grade school and middle school and high school, like half of my friends' parents were divorced. When I talk to my peers today that have kids and I'm like, hey, most of them are still married. Very few of my friends have had divorces. And when I ask them about, hey, your kids' friends, are their parents? Most of them still have married parents. Divorce rates are actually lower today by a margin than they were in the 90s. Yet that's not what we say about it.
Like, yeah.
The 90s was not a good decade for keeping people married. It was a bad, bad decade for that. And so this also is this weird narrative that we hear repeated a lot, and especially from the right, about overall crime rates and safety.
Yeah.
It's like, this is not true. People will say, parents will say, well, I used to be able to let my kids run around outside. Can't do that now. And there's a bit of like chicken and egg about this, right? If you believe you're unsafe and you tell yourself unsafe, like you're unsafe or your kids aren't safe, like, no, you won't send them outside to play. But there's actually less violent crime today than there was in the 90s. And I happened to mention this to you as we were getting ready for the show today, that when's the last time you heard about a serial killer active in the 2020s?
Right? Like, I know that I hear a lot of shows promoting that kind of thought line. Like, there's a lot of Hollywood
stories. Yeah, there's a lot of podcasts.
Yeah.
But like all of the serial killings that they're covering happened in when? The 80s and the 90s, maybe the 70s.
Maybe the early 2000s, but...
Not the 2020s.
Yeah, I feel like the internet kind of makes it a very, like, everybody lives on the social grid now. Like, even if you're not on social media, your phone connects to things. Like, everybody uses Google search. Like, you know how quickly it would be to find the people that are Googling, how do you dispose of dead body? Like, that gets flagged right away.
This is actually a thing. Like, we are in a surveillance age, right? So, like, there are cameras all over the place. Makes it really hard to stalk and kill us. Everybody I know, every other person's got a Ring camera or cameras all around. Makes it harder to break in the window, right? Like, all of this stuff, you're geotagged and geocoded and everybody knows where you're... There's just less of that now.
Yeah. Everybody my age has like... not everybody, I guess, but a lot of my friends have Snapchat. And like you can literally see, you open up a map all of a sudden, like part of this app, you can see where everybody else was in the most recent time that they were on Snapchat themselves.
Open the app.
In the app, yeah. And so it's just wild.
It's very, very... bizarre. And you know, like when I expand and then you start talking about like public health, right, and people's overall health and safety. Okay, so let's talk about cars. Which car would you want to drive, the car that was manufactured last year or the one from 1994? It's like, which do you think is safer? It's the one from 20.
I drove a 1995 Civic for a really long time, but I was glad to be out of it once I was.
Friend, I am still mourning my 02 Honda Accord V6 with the moonroof and the 6-CD changer and the leather interior. I loved that thing. Great gas mileage. R.I.P. Ghost Rider. But like that was a thing. Health issues, the food, the 90s, we told ourselves that that was the enemy, but pounded down that sugar. Delicious. Yeah. You know what a snack well is, Luke?
No, I don't, but I was eating Lunchables a lot, and apparently those have lead in them.
Yep, not good. Anyways, y'all, the upshot here from Luke and I is facts and reality matters. We all need to take our rose-colored glasses off and get to the real meat of the thing. I try to do that every day with each and every one of you. About the real news, and then we have a great conversation about it. Keep it locked, everybody. We got a little bit more special pre-recorded best of the Maggie Dawn Show coming up for you. And of course, I'll be back live in the chair on Monday. As I say every day, I'll stand up for you. I hope you stand up for me, but it's always better when we stand together. Another special best of the Maggie Dawn Show coming up for the second hour. Keep it locked right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.